in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Lou DiBiase here joining you, as always, in studio on this Friday edition of the show, and we are always part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, we are going to continue to get into the wide receiver position, which is a very polarizing one right now across the Eagles fan base and the media alike, because throughout the free agency process so far, 2 weeks in, Philadelphia has not done anything at that position, despite 2019 being filled with controversy there on and off the field, filled with injuries, filled with regression when it comes to the play of many proven guys. And heading into the 2020 season, there's a lot of question marks there, and those were not answered and most likely will not be now through free agency, since the biggest names are gone in the trade market, like DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs. You have Robbie Anderson already under contract with the Carolina Panthers. Breshad Perriman signs with the New York Jets. Me and Gino got into that plan the Eagles hopefully have at wide receiver. We talked about it on Wednesday, and both of us came to the conclusion that you really shouldn't sweat that wide receiver plan, that it's better to believe in this 2020 NFL draft class at wide receiver than it is the free agent class of pass catchers. I think they're making the right call by investing in the draft more so than free agency with so many draft picks and such a deep class. We both think it is the right call with two coming back, DeSean Jackson, hopefully getting something out of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and then, of course, Greg Ward, who had an incredible final month of the season. He was on pace for over 1,000 yards on a 16-game stretch. So we got deep into the position and the bigger plan, the bigger picture at wideout for Carson Wentz, for Howie Roseman, and for this Eagles team moving forward. So again, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any platform or on LockedOnEagles.com, because we do have that podcast and 4 to 6 others a week being posted and downloaded right into your phone. Also had some other fun ones this week. We did a post-free agency, first wave of free agency, because the Eagles have done most of their work already the past week and a half, signing so many new defensive players and bringing back guys like Nate Sudfeld. They've done their work in free agency, right? Darius Slay, Javon Hargrave, Jatavis Brown, Nickell Robey-Coleman. And like, those are the big moves Philadelphia is going to make. So we did a mock draft after that saying, okay, now that the Eagles have filled a lot of needs on defense at, you know, backup quarterback, but they did not address wide receiver or backup running back or the depth of the offensive line, let's now go through a mock draft and see what we can do with the current state of the team. And we went different here. We actually made a trade in the first round. Not going to say if we moved up or down, and we actually double dipped at a position pretty early. So I think you'll enjoy what me and Gino cooked up on a Tuesday mock draft. As for today's podcast, we are still going to talk about wide receiver, but I want to specifically talk about Alshon Jeffrey, because I feel like it was a foregone conclusion now for, I would say, really since that report came out that a player confronted Alshon about the anonymous comments that were bashing Carson Wentz over the last 2 years. When we heard, because you can't ever definitively prove, unless Alshon comes out and just publicly apologizes for the comments and admits it, which he won't do, because right now, again, there's no way to ever prove, unless he or, let's say, Josina Anderson came out and outed her source and said it was Alshon, which, you know, a good reporter, a good journalist will never do. We're never going to be able to prove it. So when, though, of course, we heard that players think that it was Alshon Jeffrey that was going after Carson Wentz anonymously behind his back through the media, I think we all assumed, okay, you cannot have that turmoil. Even if Alshon wasn't the guy that said these things about Wentz and the team, players think it was. Prominent offensive players thinks it was Alshon Jeffrey. So at that point, you almost have to move on. Well, at the start of the league year, when the Eagles had an opportunity to spread that $26 million dead cap that they would have to eat by cutting Alshon Jeffrey after last year, they guaranteed his salary. And then in 2020, by trying to minimize the cap hit in 2019, thinking Alshon would be a big part of the future. Since then, now they're in this situation where, yes, at the start of the league year, they could spread that dead cap out through 2 years, where this year they would only have to eat $16 million and then $10 million next year, as opposed to $26 in full this year, which would significantly hurt their salary cap. They still did not make that move, and that led a lot of people to think, okay, what's going on with Alshon Jeffrey? Are they seriously considering keeping him on the roster in 2020? Are they trying to find a trade partner to get rid of him, maybe give a team a draft pick like the Texans did a while back when they had to move Brock Osweiler's heavy contract? They gave the Cleveland Browns a second-round pick to take that deal off their hands. So we were speculating, you know, what they were trying to do with Alshon. And then Howie Roseman had this one-on-one interview with Eagles insider Dave Spadaro on Thursday, and then he was on an interview this morning on Sports Radio 94 WIP talking about Alshon Jeffrey in both interviews. And that led me to believe that Alshon isn't going anywhere, at least right now, in 2020. He told Dave Spadaro in that one-on-one on Thursday that Alshon told the organization he wants to be in Philly, he wants to win championships with the Eagles. And then Roseman again tried to remind people just what kind of player Jeffrey has been for this team from 2017 till 2019. But he also talked about how Alshon needs to get healthy. He mentioned how Jeffrey knows how people view him right now, which is interesting. I don't know if he's hinting at, you know, how they view him as a player on the field because of the injuries, because of the down year he had in 2019, or if it was because of the comments, because of all this anonymous source business. Maybe that's what Howie Roseman meant by people, you know, he knows how people view him right now, and he is trying to change that. So, you know, I think it was a lot of damage control by Howie Roseman. I think it was a lot of PR. I think this does show, because again, you don't want to put too much stock into what teams say. Teams lie all the time. Doug Peterson one day says Mike Groh and Carson Walsh are going to be back on his coaching staff, and then literally the next day, the Eagles fired Mike Groh and Carson Walsh, the former offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach. So, again, teams lie all the time to the media, to fans. You can't take what they say at face value. You can't put all your stock into what the comments they are, what they make. You have to go by what their actions are, what their actions have led up to, rather than what they're saying. So again, I don't think this means what Howie said, all the positives about Alshon, because he did say a lot of good stuff. That's what he was really trying to do. He was trying to spin it that way. I don't think that means Jeffrey will be a huge part of the plan in 2020. I still expect them to take at least one wide receiver in the first two rounds. I think they'll draft another in this deep class. I think they're going to give J.J. Arcega-Whiteside every opportunity to make them not need Jeffrey again, for sure. So don't get that wrong. But and again, you know, all the source stuff aside, Jeffrey is 30 years old, coming off a serious Liz Frank injury in a year where he was already having the worst season of his career, right? 490 yards, 4 touchdowns, suffered with drops, did not look nearly as explosive as he has in the past. So again, I don't think that just because Howie said all this good stuff about Alshon the past couple days and defended him to the media, don't make that seem like, okay, he's going to be wide receiver one or wide receiver two moving forward, and they're not going to invest any resources now back at wide receiver in this draft. That's simply not the case. However, I do think this does mean, at least for right now, Howie is stuck with that Alshon Jeffrey contract. Because why else would you say, you know, and even today, he said that Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey did not have issues in 2019, which I think is false. I don't think that's true at all. But why would Howie say that about a player that he's going to move on from? Why say all this? And maybe it's to jack up his trade value, but I doubt it because teams aren't that stupid. They see the hole the Eagles are in with this contract and the type of player Alshon is right now and the situation he's in, both on and off the field, with the injuries, with how players view him and how fans perceive him. So that could be what Howie was doing, but I doubt it. I think legitimately right now, he does not plan on cutting him. Doesn't mean he plans on making him a big part of the 2020 plan, of course. But it could mean, and it very well likely means, that as of right now, the plan for Alshon is to get him healthy and then go from there. I think that is the situation, and then you see if maybe you can find a trade partner for him when he's healthy, or maybe you make him still a part of the plan with a rookie wide receiver and DeSean Jackson, or just as another option in case of injuries, which, again, we saw what happened last year with Jackson getting injured, with Jeffrey getting injured. They were down to two wide receivers at the end of the year. They dressed, what, against Dallas, it was Greg Ward and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and then Robert Davis and Deontay Burnett. Maybe that's the plan, but I do think right now, Alshon Jeffrey is not going to get cut anytime soon. Again, that doesn't mean that he'll be part of the plan. It doesn't mean that he won't get moved later on, but that's kind of what I read into Howie Roseman's comments over the last couple days. for me, it's still really hard to have Alshon on the roster. Even with all that being totally understandable, it's still difficult for me, and I'll tell you why coming up next on segment two, right here on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Friday edition of the podcast, a Friday edition of Locked On Eagles, getting into Alshon Jeffrey and the situation Philadelphia is in right now with him and why he is still on the roster. And it looks like, again, how I interpreted Howie Roseman's comments on Thursday and Friday is that, you know, he's in a situation where he does not want to eat 7% of the salary cap this year by cutting Jeffrey. So again, even though you can spread out that $26 million in dead cap over a two-year span, you're still going to eat 7% of your cap this year if you were to just go ahead and cut him. So I understand why Roseman is trying to almost do some damage control and say some good things about Alshon in case he is stuck with him in 2020. I don't think that you should believe everything he said 100%, as if to think Alshon's going to be a huge part of the plan in 2020, that they're not going to make moves at wideout they haven't been making moves at receiver because they plan on Jeffrey being one of your staples over the next year or two at wide receiver. I don't think that's the case, but I do think maybe just while he's recovering from his injury and not knowing if you could ever get any sort of value back for him through a trade later on when he is healthy, you might as well say these things now in case you are stuck with him on the roster in 2020. And again, a lot of that makes sense. I understand what Roseman is doing. Eating 7% of your salary cap is pretty tough, especially for a player that's not going to contribute to your team at all. You're paying to not be on your team. He's also injured, so once again, you can't really move him for any sort of assets. He's coming off the worst year of his career. He's injured, and there's a lot of distractions that comes with Alshon off the field right now. So I guess, and look, Jeffrey's been a huge piece over the years, and having that option while you're stuck, regardless of what you do at wide receiver, makes some sense. So I understand it, but from my perspective, how they can have a guy that you don't know if he was the one making these comments to Josina Anderson over the last 2 years. Because remember, some people think it was Orlando Scandrick. Some people want to say it was Zach Brown that was bashing the offense this year. They want to say it was a defensive player in 2019 that made those comments after that blowout against the Minnesota Vikings. But you can't forget that in 2018, this also happened. And Scandrick wasn't on the team in 2018, and neither was Zach Brown. Remember, in 2018, there were comments made, again, anonymously to Josina Anderson that said Carson Wentz over-targets Zach Ertz. There was a lot of criticism about Wentz and about the offense. So this happened two straight years. You can't prove it was Alshon, but players now, I believe the report that a prominent offensive player went after Alshon Jeffrey, especially seeing like the pretty aggressive comments about this anonymous source that a guy like Brandon Brooks made at the end of the year when the Eagles were hot, and he publicly defended Carson Wentz and went after whoever that source was. I believe 100% that it could have been him or any other offensive lineman or another skill position player or maybe a quarterback that did confront Alshon Jeffrey. So to me, how you can, I understand all of the reasons to say what Roseman said the past couple days and to keep Alshon on the roster, but it's also hard to stomach keeping a player in-house in that locker room that players think bashed their quarterback behind his back to the media anonymously in two straight seasons. I mean, I just don't think you can ignore that report or all the other evidence that stacks up against Jeffrey. You can't prove it, but it's hard for me to just look past Alshon's connection with Josina Anderson and his lack of on-field chemistry with Wentz. He also, last summer, did not fly down to Houston when Wentz paid for his flight and paid for all of his receivers, running backs, and tight ends to come down to Houston and throw with him. Alshon was one of the only guys that did not show up. So you hear all of that, and you also hear the report, by the way, earlier this winter. It was from, I believe, Pro Football Talk, that Alshon Jeffrey would welcome a move out of Philadelphia. It's hard for me to see all of that, all of those reports, all of those stories, all of the rumors, and think, okay, yeah, this is going to work out fine just keeping him on the roster in 2020. I think when he got hurt against the Giants, that almost, I don't want to say it was like a pressure lifted off the offense and off Wentz's shoulders, but I feel like Wentz did feel more free, that he could just go out there, didn't have to over-target somebody, didn't have to you know, throw a certain kind of pass to a certain kind of player every single play. Whereas maybe he did feel that pressure previously. And if he didn't, Alshon like certainly felt it himself and made the comments because he was clearly upset about his involvement when Wentz was on the field. So it's hard to see that despite the lack of talent at wide receiver, it's hard to see Alshon come out of the lineup and then Philadelphia, all these young practice squad kids and all these are just young players in general, like Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert. It's hard to see those guys rally around Wentz, win four games straight, make the playoffs. The offense is way more efficient, and then say Alshon was not part of the problem. So that's where I'm coming from. That's why I always just assumed he was going to be off the team, because a lot of that maybe was just too much to handle. And although the salary cap hit was pretty substantial and it's pretty heavy, I would have thought maybe it was worth it. But, you know, right now, I guess because you are stuck in the situation and you don't want to eat all that money, especially while he's hurt, I guess it does make sense that Roseman and everyone are trying to say the right things. But I don't think that means everything we heard, just based on, you know, 2 days of comments from the general manager. I don't want to say that that means that everything we've heard about Alshon in this situation over the past year, the past 2 years, suddenly isn't true at all. Again, you got to take everything that a team member, a coach, a general manager, a player says with a grain of salt, because a lot of the times it ends up not being the case, and it's more so damage control, it's more so a PR stunt, and just based on the circumstance. And that's kind of what I'm sniffing out right now with this Alshon Jeffrey situation. I'm curious, because that's where I'm at right now with this. That's how I feel about the situation. That's what I would have done. I probably still would end up trying to get rid of Alshon. Even if it's not cutting him right now, when he is healthy, I would instantly try to trade him, even for a conditional draft pick. That's where I'm at the situation. I don't think it's going to be worth it to see what you can get out of him on the field late in the season next year. Because remember, this Liz Frank injury, Jalen Mills suffered the same thing in 2018 in, what was it, October or November of that season against the Jacksonville Jaguars in that London game. And he did not return for a whole nother year. He did not return until halfway through the 2019 season. So Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, he might not even be available to be on the field in 2020 until week 8, week 9, week 10. So that's where I'm at with this. I do wonder where fans are at with this. And on Twitter, I posted a poll earlier today. Are you still a fan of Alshon Jeffrey? Because regardless of what you think they should do with him moving forward, I want to know what you think of him looking backwards, looking at his past 3 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's what I'm going to get into coming up next. I want to hear from the fans and what they had to say on this poll. And remember, you can follow me on Twitter at DiBiase. So that's what's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back in. We are wrapping up this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles, getting into Alshon Jeffrey and his contract situation and the injury situation, the anonymous source situation. There's a lot of things that come with Alshon right now that, you know, you didn't really expect to come with a guy like Alshon Jeffrey when you did sign him in 2017. Of course, when you did sign him in 2017, he was a huge part of your first ever Super Bowl championship. He was a huge part of a 2018 playoff run. So regardless, again, of what kind of guy, what kind of player he'll be moving forward, regardless of what this organization does with his contract moving forward, looking back, I am curious, when you combine that championship run, that playoff run the year later, and then all of this anonymous source stuff included, I am curious how fans will feel about Jeffrey and his three-year career so far, looking back with the Philadelphia Eagles. Are you still a fan of Alshon? I put up that poll on Twitter, and again, you can follow me to get in on this, at DiBiase. Are you still a fan of Alshon Jeffrey? Pretty cut and dry, simple. I didn't want to over-explain anything. I just wanted to see where your initial thought process was at here. And it's still early on in the process, but right now, 55.7% of you say, yes, you are still a fan of Alshon Jeffrey, where 44.3% say no. So the majority of Eagles fans right now, or at least that are contributing to this poll, still believe in Alshon as a fan favorite with the Eagles, that you still look back on his career in a positive light, which, trust me, I get. Alshon, again, you look at what he did in the playoffs in 2017, catching 2 touchdowns in the NFC Championship game. That play, that touchdown over Eric Rowe in Super Bowl 52 was one of the most impressive catches I've ever seen in Super Bowl history. And we have seen a lot. But to jump just full extension, highest point in the air across his body, a huge wingspan to go over Eric Rowe, who, you know, Eagles fans know as a former Philadelphia second round pick, is a pretty big physical corner. Alshon just goes over him and makes a jaw-dropping play. And he also had a couple other huge plays in that game, over 70 yards receiving. I understand why, you know, you would still see Alshon in a good light regardless of his relationship with Carson Wentz. You look at his playoff numbers over those five playoff games from 2017 to 2018. He never had a game where he was under 60 yards receiving. Against Atlanta in that divisional round game, four catches for 61 yards. Then in the NFC title game against Minnesota, five catches for 85 yards and two touchdowns. In the Super Bowl, he had three catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. Then, of course, he was one of the huge reasons you made the playoffs in 2018. When Nick Foles came in, him and Alshon really sparked that run, starting with that huge game against the Rams where he had eight catches for 160 yards, his best game ever with the Eagles. Houston, three catches for 82 yards against the Texans. Alshon makes that huge play on third and long to continue that drive, keep that drive alive, and triple coverage. He moves the chains. If you probably remember the play because Jadeveon Clowney drilled Nick Foles and almost took him out of the game. Alshon's catch was almost as impressive as Foles' pass. And then in the game to make the playoffs, having to beat the Redskins, they have five catches for 59 yards and one touchdown, Alshon, that is. And then in the playoffs, 82 yards against Chicago, 63 yards against New Orleans. So this has been a playoff hero for the Eagles over 2 years. So trust me, I understand why you would still be a fan of Alshon Jeffrey. For me, though, through all of that, and trust me, I struggle with seeing him in a negative light because of all that good stuff I just talked about. It's really hard because of what he has meant to this team over 3 years. But for me, it's still really hard to root for him through all of this. You know, even if they don't prove it was him that was bashing Carson Wentz, the evidence points to him. And for me, that's just, it's so substantial that it's hard for me to get over. Just the way he went about it will never sit right with me. Why you can't just go to your quarterback in-house, not make this a media distraction, especially at a time when, you know, it's so early on in the season. Why cause this rift in the locker room when you see how sometimes that can destroy seasons? It can spiral out of control, and it nearly almost did for the Eagles last year. Luckily, they righted the ship like they did in 2018, but that's not always the case. How you anonymously go behind your quarterback's back to the media 2 straight years is, and again, we don't know it was him, but for me, it looks like it was him. That's hard to get over, especially going after Wentz of all people. When Alshon should know all the things that were stacked against Carson and that offense, right? In 2018, you say he over-targeted Ertz. I think that had every much to do with Wentz having a fractured back and not being able to target his wide receivers deep down the field. How Alshon bashes Wentz when you see all the dropped passes in 2019. I mean, dropped passes cost them three extra wins against Atlanta, against Detroit, and against New England. How Alshon doesn't see all the injuries on offense, including his own, and his own regressed play, by the way, and go after his quarterback. I don't know. That's why it'll always be tough looking back on his career in Philadelphia. I'll always be objective and say that it was pretty successful, especially for what they paid and for the 2 years of playoff runs and a Super Bowl title. But the other stuff is, to me, too much to get over to just be all in on him as a fan. But others don't see it that way. Right now, the majority are still a fan of Alshon Jeffrey, 56% now compared to 43% of fans that say they are not fans of Alshon Jeffrey. We'll see what they do going forward with him and his contract in 2020. But again, what I will say is take what Howie Roseman said with a grain of salt. I think he is kind of stuck with making those comments. And that does not mean in the first round they're not going to draft a receiver. That does not mean in the second round they also won't draft a receiver. It does not mean they're not going to draft multiple pass catchers or sign another in free agency. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember to subscribe to get 4 to 6 episodes just like this downloaded into your phone on any podcast platform. It can be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it. We are up and available on those sites or on LockedOnEagles.com. And I'm always talking birds on Twitter after the show, so make sure to follow me up at DiBiase LOE. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go birds.